The first lesson on the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at the 10th verse. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. But the grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Once more, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus this morning. This is the 1st of October, and it's a month in which we will celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Now, the Reformation we celebrate because of the insight that was rediscovered in God's Word that had been hidden for many years by the Christian Church. You see, the Word of God was subject to many, many layers of human tradition and human interpretation and rules and other writings that caused the church to go off in a direction that God didn't intend. And much of that skewed viewpoint was under the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. But it took a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther to have his spiritual eyes opened through the work of the Holy Spirit to bring the true revelation of God's Word to the masses, first in Germany and then to the rest of the world. Reading the Holy Scripture with new eyes, with eyes that were enlightened, allowed Luther to see that we're not saved by works that the church was teaching at the time. It wasn't by paying off the Pope in the form of indulgences that we're saved. We're saved because of faith in Jesus Christ. This revelation by Luther, and then publicized so that all could read it, sparked what we call the Reformation of the Christian Church. And in a few days, we will celebrate that it has been 500 years since Luther began publicizing his revelation. Today, the Christian church, especially the non-Catholic church, has changed very much. It's been reformed. Now, during this month, what I want to do as your spiritual leader is to highlight different aspects of the Reformation so that we can get a broader understanding of what our faith is and what areas that we need to pay attention to as we live out our lives the way God intends us to. And so today I begin with our source of faith, God's Word. Before there was anything else, there was God. How do we know? Well, He told us. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. God spoke words. Let there be light. Let there be waters. Let there be earth. Let there be animals. Let there be humankind. And by His words, everything that we know was created. And then as people, groups developed and multiplied and spread out over the earth, God directed that His word be written down so that we could have it, so that we could read it, so that we could refer to it, so that there would be a record of what He had said. He wants us to use His holy word as a guide, as a map, to show us how we're to live the way He wants us to provide lessons for what we should do and what we should not do, but most importantly, to show us from where our salvation comes. You see, the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus to fulfill God's plan to reconcile us back to Him after the fall of humanity into sin in the Garden of Eden. The New Testament writings are the coming of that reconciliation through Jesus. And God showing us how He wants us to live and work in His kingdom to bring other people to know and have faith in Jesus too. But because we are the flawed creatures that we are, human interpretation and human disinformation enters into what people know about what God said. In fact, in Luther's time, the general population didn't even have access to the Bible because only scholars and only priests knew how to read. The Holy Word was written in Latin, not the language of the people. Church services were given in Latin, not the language of the people. And even if a person could speak Latin, finding a Bible was very difficult. Usually it was only in a church, and usually that church was some far away, you know, a far away place. And many times, even if you found a Bible, it was chained to the altar so that it couldn't be taken away. Now how's that for a metaphor? The Bible chained. Okay. Well, it was thought by the church that the common, ordinary people were just too ignorant to learn how to read, and let alone understand what they were reading. And so they had to be told. No thinking for our own back then. And so human wisdom and the flawed or even corrupt interpretation became the norm. It was easy for the church to begin teaching what was corrupt rather than sola scriptura, the scripture alone. That was the sad state of the biblical knowledge back in Luther's time, until the revelation of what the Bible actually said by way of Martin Luther. Now you have to understand that just before this, there was an invention. Johann Gutenberg, a printer, invented a printing press. And that printing press allowed mass distribution of things that could be printed. And the information and the writings of Luther utilized that mass distribution through the printing press to have his teaching and his ideas spread all over the world, really. Let me ask you, do you think it was just a coincidence that God had Luther's revelation and the printing press all in the approximate same period of time in human history? I don't think so. I think it was God working to bring the church back on track again. You see, all the answers to all of our questions of life can be found in God's Word. It is in Scripture alone, or in Latin, sola scriptura, that our map for redemption, that our way of living, that our eternal future can be found. Now I want you to do a little mind exercise for me. Imagine for me, if you will, that you don't have access to a Bible. All these Bibles on these chairs in front of you disappear. All of the Bibles in our library disappear. Whatever Bibles you may have at your home disappear. You don't have access to a Bible. Now you do know that there is one Bible, and it is up in a church in Thomasville. And it's written in a foreign language that you don't know. No Bible online. You can't pull out your phone. No Bible in your PDF files. No Bibles. Kind of like in Luther's time. What would you do? And I sadly have to ask, would we miss it? Well, I'm hoping all of us are saying, yeah, we would miss it. You know, today we have access to so many different kinds of Bibles. We have study Bibles. We have Bibles of all sorts. We have Bibles that were written from the woman's perspective. We have Bibles that were written from the man's perspective. We have different translations. And by the way, you need to be careful of those, as I'll get into in a second. We have Bibles in every language, almost every language of this world. We have Bibles that are Braille Bibles. We have audio Bibles. We have Bibles that are expensive and leather-bound and full of artwork. And we have the 99-cent paperback Bibles, too. We find Bibles everywhere of every kind. It's kind of like if Luther was alive today, he'd say, we're pretty close to heaven having so many Bibles available to people. But do we really appreciate it? Probably all of us have a Bible in our house, right? But how often do we open it? Do we study our Bibles? Are we into them daily? Have we read them from cover to cover? Or do we just rely on a few well-known scripture verses to make it seem like we're knowledgeable about Jesus and knowledgeable about God's provision for us? Unfortunately, I used to be that way. I really didn't get into His Word like I should have. Oh, I listened to sermons, and I listened to, or I sang hymns that had Bible verses in them, but I had really never gotten into God's Word from cover to cover. I never really studied about what I was reading to find out really what God was trying to say. I was susceptible to human interpretation because my knowledge was not based on sola scriptura, scripture alone, until God got a hold of me. And I learned how much I didn't know. God's Word is very, very deep, and it is well thought out, as you can imagine. God's Word gives insight on many, many levels, if only we would delve into them. Unfortunately, we humans get caught up in our daily lives so that we tend to take God's word for granted. And therefore, we don't know that very much about it. We have so many choices and so many ways that we can engage the Bible that sometimes we just say, well, it's there if I ever want to read it. And you know what? We hardly ever want to read it. So imagine if it wasn't there. And you didn't know how to be saved. And you didn't know how you could get to heaven. And you were at the mercy of people, some people even in the church, telling you, well, you've got to do good works. You've got to do things that pleases God. That's the way to get to heaven. But then you find out that everything you do and anything you could do is not enough. That's the way Luther felt in the early 1500s. Until he read Paul's letter to the Roman church. Especially chapter 1, verse 17. He read, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Now you have to know that previously, being a monk, Luther read this same verse in Latin. I'm sure he read it many, many times. But this time he read it another way, another translation. He read it in the original Greek words. And he soon began to realize that he and the Roman Catholic Church have had it all wrong for many, many years. The righteousness that Paul was talking about here is not of our own making. It's not because we do good things. It's not that we do things that are pleasing to God. The righteousness that Paul's talking about here is a gift given to us by God through Jesus, through faith in Him. It's a gift given to us by God. It's called grace. Wow. What a revelation that was. A truth that had been hidden was now revealed to Luther. And he began to make sure other people knew about that revelation too. When he tacked that 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, that was a challenge to come debate the church upon this new revelation that Luther had. And so that idea and those words and the teachings of Luther had began to spread, as I said, with the invention of the printing press. That's why Luther is associated with the solas, the alones of the Christian doctrine. Scripture alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. Christ alone. Sola Scriptura. The Holy Scripture shows us the way to salvation. Holy Scripture tells us about Jesus and opens our hearts to receive God's Holy Spirit so that we can believe in Jesus as our Savior. The Holy Scripture, when combined with natural elements of the earth in holy sacraments, packs the power of God. Packs the power to bring faith when it's combined with water in holy baptism. Packs the power of the forgiveness of sins in Christ's holy body and blood when combined with the bread and wine in holy communion. God's Word brings power through the work of the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't take His Holy Word lightly or casually. We shouldn't ignore Holy Scripture or take it for granted. Holy Scripture packs a punch. Why? It's God's words. It's very intimate to God. Paul wrote about it when he wrote a letter to Timothy, in his second letter to Timothy. He said, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God breathed. The breath of God that created everything that we know. Sounds pretty intimate to me, don't you think? But there's more. John tells us in our gospel lesson today that Jesus is the very Word of God, who is God, who became flesh and lived among us. Again, pretty intimate, don't you think? God's Word is a living Word. It creates faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Word has authority. God's Word declares you not guilty, forgiven. God's Word never fails to do what it's intended to do. In our second lesson today, from Peter's first letter, Peter quotes from Isaiah when he says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass. All of their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God endures forever. That last verse, verse 25. The Word of the Lord endures forever. That became the motto of the Reformation. The Latin initials of that, of the first letter in Latin of those words, VDMA, sometimes you see that, were sewn into clothing at the time. They were put on flags and banners. They were etched into swords. They were put on other armor pieces. What was the Word of the Lord? What is this enduring Word, the Word from God that we can trust? Well, Peter tells us in the next verse. And this Word, this is the Word that you were preached. The Word that was preached to you is the enduring Word of God. The preaching about faith in Jesus. Sola Scriptura. Only God's Word can do that. Do you want God to speak to you? Do you want Him to answer your prayers? Do you want to find direction in your life? Do you want to grow closer to Jesus? Then read God's Word. Study it. Embrace it. Cherish it. Because He wrote it for you and me. Amen.